Blog Good Talk evening. Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to Daniel Clark Network Radio, the Daniel Clark and Marsha Jones Show. And I think I'm going to be without my co-host today. I haven't been able to get in touch with him. I know he's out there making that music someplace. And I believe we got some networks that's down around the country. I know that I had quite a few problems yesterday and trying to get on the internet and trying to broadcast. So we're just going to do what we do. We got a great show lined up for you today. We've got some new music by Stanley Beer, his new album, Slow Jam. So we're going to be introducing some of those songs to you, and he may or may not be available for a live conversation. I know it's a beautiful day out there, and everybody's out there doing their thing. Also, we have coming up, Gene Poo Poo Man Anderson, Parliament Funkadelic is supposed to join us today as well. And none other than Joe Phillips from the Winstons. Now, let me tell you, these guys has been a legend in their time, and are still a legend, and they're still making music. So, I mean, we want to go out and patronize, pick up their CD, their new music. So we're going to go ahead and get into Stanley's new CD titled Slow Jam. So we're going to play a few songs off of that. Okay, here we go. Put your seatbelt on. Thank you. Yeah, that was the tune. New music from Stanley Beer. Play me another slow song. Yes, coming from his new CD, Slow Jam. You know, we've been working on this campaign on we got to do something to save our children. And I got to tell you the real truth about this thing. We as black people always had an issue in coming together for a common cause. I mean, could it be that this system have just gotten us to the point where we just don't care about each other as sisters and brothers, even as family? Whenever you have a young kid that would kill another for a pair of tennis shoes, don't you think it's time to rise up now? I don't have anything to do with anybody and how they conduct or run their life, but as I post things on Facebook and look at the activity on Facebook, seems like everybody's having a party. I personally don't see anything to party for when every day you've got hundreds of not just black men, but black people, period, dying every day as a result of gun violence, drugs. And we know that this is not a coincidence, but all by design. Hey, we're trying to create a movement. We're looking at the government and how they're taking everything that they can away. You got racial profiling in your neighborhoods. You can't even walk out the door or go down the street without the policeman using you as a target to fulfill their quotas. Jail cells full of us. I mean, don't that make you want to do something? I mentioned the other day on our show, because, you know, we got a lot of people that it's into various different religions, and that's cool. And I even had some responses on the air, Facebook, to say, well, you know, we gotta pray, wait for Jesus. My attitude is this. Can't we do something now to save ourselves while we wait for Jesus? That's for all of you that, you know, you want to sit back and relax. That's your thing. Daniel Clark Network Radio. We're going to get into another cut here. Bet you by golly. Wow. Daniel Clark Network Radio. Don't know what happened there. It appears that, ladies and gentlemen, hold on 1 second. Hello?
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm calling you now. Are you prepared to go on the air? Yeah, it's no problem. It is 3:11 right now. Yeah, I'll call you from the air.
Yeah, that was my partner having phone issues, as I said. We've got network was down, and we've got some problems all over with the network. So we're going to see if we can't get him on the line here now. That's Marshall Jones, bass player for the Ohio Players. You know him. The conversation, we got to do something to save our children. And you can give us a call and talk live. You can give us a call and talk live. Daniel Clark Network Radio. And we've got Stanley Bird that may or may not be with us today. And also, we have Joe Phillips from the Winstons. And if you'd like to call in, 646-478-4995. Yes, that's 646-478-4995. Give me a second here. I'm trying to get, make sure I'm dialing the right number here. Okay, here goes.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Jones.
Yes, sir.
How are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm good.
Oh, man. I
had to get my phone charged up here. So how are things going on your end?
Man, they're gone. I was just playing a little bit of new music by Stanley Beer. He have a new CD out called Slow Jam.
Okay.
So while we was awaiting him, I was just playing a little bit of music and just kind of talking to the public about the thoughts and the concept behind we got to do something to save our children.
Yes.
And I was mentioning that it appears if you go on Facebook, it appears that everybody's happy, and there's nothing wrong with being happy. Sometimes people ask me, why you look so serious all the time? And I'm like, if you look around at the way that we as a black race right now, we as black men in particular, is being dealt with in this society after all the contributions that we made, and we're dying every day, I don't see anything to smile about.
That's true.
Really. I don't see anything to be happy about. I mean, we should be about the business. We should be about the business of saving our you-know-what.
Yeah,
because,
true.
If you look at every day, if you look at the news, they are taking something. And they continue to take out the cookie jar, but they're not putting anything back in the cookie jar.
Well, that's true.
So,
we suffer as a people. We suffer from the illusion of inclusion. We think that everything's fine. And if you look at TV, you'll see it like that. And that's the danger of watching too much television. You think everything's fine and dandy, and people on Facebook, that's what they do. They watch a lot of television. because mm-hmm. you can tell by what their conversations is mostly about. Actually, it's like reading somebody's mind when you're right. on Facebook. You're hearing people's thoughts about this and that and the other. They're not mm-hmm. looking at the bottom line. They're not looking at what's really going on. They see mm-hmm. that their children are suffering in the streets. They see that their condition is not equal to or, matching the American dream. But they go to church, and the church puts them right on back to sleep. Mm-hmm. And they watch TV. and you can't break that cycle of that illusion of inclusion, which
right.
is artificial,
right.
in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, I said something in relationship to that a few minutes ago because someone from the Facebook arena sent me a message and asked why we got to do something to save our children. I mean, we should just pray and that, you know, God is coming for us, you know, and
mm-hmm.
or to save us. So my reply to that was that, okay, well, that's fine that you know, God is going to come back and save us. But can we do anything in the meantime to save ourselves?
That's the problem. You know, we're expecting some myth, some illusion to come and correct everything in the world. You know, we as a people, especially as African people, we can be Christian, Jews, Muslims, and whatever, but we should look at ourselves as Africans first, you
mm-hmm.
know, because Africa is the motherland for
right.
all civilization, all humanity,
mm-hmm.
and Africa has all the richness, you know,
right.
and why
right.
are people over there starving? You know, we're looking for a time. I'm looking for a time when the power of love will replace the love of power.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe we will see a blessing of peace in the world. But until we
right.
wake up as a people, it's not going to happen because the Europeans are not interested in saving us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see that every day when you look at the news. And, I mean, this guy Cruz, I don't know what. You know, this dude has got to be one of the worst crackers I ever seen in my life, you know, because, I mean, he just make these statement, black men. I took that personally. I took it personal. Black men in the inner city don't want to work. Now, when we all know that, yes, some of us are not interested in being employed because they've been employed. You get low wages, you know, not enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You work 40 hours. You don't make enough money to go home and take care of your family. That's for one. And then you're making
right.
that man rich. You know, you see him riding up. I mean, I never forget. I used to work for this guy. And, you know, he's got, man, all these $100, $200 shirts and diamond rings and, you know, and nice cars and everything. And, you know, he's paying us a minimum wage
mm-hmm.
or the lowest scale that you can afford to pay to be in technology.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making a mint. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that is the business design. But when you got the massive of people that we are working to make other individuals comfortable in life, and then you stay in poverty. So you struggle all your life to die. Time have got to change. We got to do something to create and to put ourselves in the same playing field that they are. And that
well,
is by you to... Go ahead.
I'd be real surprised, man. And, you know, I think if what's going to happen is it's going to happen for us to wake up as a people, you know, in this country. Because the whole world watches what we do here. And they, you know, like I see Africans, man, they run around straight in their hair now You know, they're westernizing themselves. And you got a lot of these black churches going over there preaching the Lord is their savior.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a regurgitation of the old, same old slave mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we suffer from what I call post-traumatic slave syndrome. You know,
right.
We still got a slave mentality. And until we wake up and realize that that's what's holding us back, I don't
mm-hmm.
see no changes ever.
Right. Right. Well, you know, last week we had this conversation on some ideas in terms of how and since Sunday, our last conversation and during the meeting on Wednesday, I've got a lot of concepts, a lot of ideas from other individuals. And, you know, it all comes down to one thing, and that's finance. And that was
true.
The question. That was the question that was being delivered to me. Where are you going to get the money to do this? So I came up
yeah.
with a suggestion, and you know, we already talked about if each black man in each state, say for instance, Carolinas, I believe it's 9 million of us, and I may have to double check that, but I'm almost certain, $1 from each individual. If that's the case, if we really want to organize, you see, we got to reach the masses of people. And then I've asked for, and we'll start asking individuals for donations as operating capitals. But there's a lot of different ways that, I mean, you know, you do dinners for the churches, sell dinner for the churches. Sell dinner.
That's the key.
Sell dinner for this project.
Yeah.
To save a young man or a young lady. And we got to understand that these guns and drugs just doesn't affect the individual, but it affects the surrounding. In other
okay.
words, your grandson or your daughter is out someplace going to a movie, minding their business. And he'll go a drive-by intended for somebody else. You
yeah.
know, so it is contamination of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And the fact that so many of us has been incarcerated, and that incarceration thing is a big moneymaker.
Yeah.
So they still have us in slavery.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree 100%. But I think one of the things you're going to have to do is go to these churches, man, and start talking to these preachers. Because I've talked to a couple of preachers, and they say, well, you know, I understand what you're saying, but the people don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to hear about a black concept of black people coming together, you know, for the good of the whole.
Well, you know, what seems strange to me is that if you can support preparing yourself for your savior, and then if you're looking around,
well, where is he? If he's saving, when he gonna start? Get started. And you got kids
right,
dying
right.
in the streets right here, and you know what them kids say? Jesus ain't coming back. And these kids
mm-hmm.
ain't stupid. It's the parents, man. We're the ones. These kids know better.
Right. Well, I'm thinking that we have to do something in the interim. Well, I mean, if that's your belief, if you believe that, you know, someone is going to come down and destroy the world or whatever the case may be, that's fine. But in the interim, you know,
mm-hmm.
while we're here, you know, while we're waiting for him, I mean, what's wrong with doing something to save ourselves?
I agree with you. But he's been coming for 2,000 years and ain't got here yet.
Yeah, just in case. Just in case.
I don't see how you're going to do it without convincing these people that this Jesus thing, man, it's the worst form of mentality. You know, it's psychological impairment, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
We need to wake up, man. You know.
Yeah, we definitely need to do something to get ourselves, I mean, jobs. Let's just think about jobs right now. I was listening to C-SPAN and them having the discussion on $10.
Okay.
And this one guy got up there talking about how many businesses is going to be destroyed if you give the people $10.
Okay.
Man, I almost went off. Almost went off. $10. Now, if you take that $10 with a single parent with two kids on a 40-hour week, and by the time you pay rent, gas, electric, two kids,
okay,
providing for the kids, food. I mean, the only thing you're really going to work for is to put yourself in more poverty. I mean, $10,
mm-hmm,
$10, $10, they should, I mean, I can't even imagine. We
mm-hmm
know that the bulk of the people that control and run this United States is the individuals that go to work and make $7 an hour. And by the time that the government subtract from it what the government gets, then that $7 an hour is now at $5 an hour, basically. You know, so what do? You give us $10, but you're going to raise the taxes everywhere. So that looks good, you know, just the concept of $10. But by the time you deduct the taxes out of it, you're still working for $7. Why not give people $20 an hour as a minimum wage? And that's just, I mean, at $20 an hour, that's just barely making it.
Mm.
That's just barely making it. So then, why are we not concentrating on taking some of those dollars that we give to these people every day and building our own companies where we can pay ourselves a decent salary?
It's so common sense to me, you know, Why not organize? I mean, you know, like I said, I think it's going to start with the churches, man.
Mm.
If you don't get the churches involved in something, you're not going to get the people.
Right.
Because no matter what, the churches are our only real institution that we have, as crazy as it may seem, you know. But that's where we have to start.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see no other way.
Right.
I really don't.
Well, then I guess I had a phone call or a text from a gentleman that have listened to several of our shows, and I've had some conversations, and he introduced me to a gentleman that I haven't had a chance to talk to, but I believe that he's in that arena. So maybe sometimes later today or tomorrow I will have that conversation. But maybe we need to pick a couple of ministers and go direct and have that conversation and see if it can be delivered in a different format.
I think you're putting your thumb on the situation now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to convince these churches that this
right
is the real world, man.
Mm-hmm.
And that we got to organize.
Even the training that we were talking about, I mean, we can utilize these facilities to train individuals, I mean, to make money.
Exactly. That's our first line of coming back. I mean, you know, there can be schools when children, before they get to school age, they can learn something about their own culture.
Right.
See, we don't have a knowledge of who we are, plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And we emulate what we see. You know, we see white people having everything, even though it's materialistic. That's all we see. So what do? We try to emulate white people.
Right.
You know,
right.
I look at the sisters, man, and if they would just stop spending money on their hair and their nails. Mm-hmm. You know, they're making the Japanese and the Indian people buying that hair, making them rich. And what does that say? I hate my own hair. The whole world is seeing you do that. I hate my own hair. I hate myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And until you can change that mentality, you're going to have the same problem.
Right, right. And you would think that when you start having a conversation about saving our children and saving, you know, us as a race, that this phone would be jumping off the hook. But, man, I got to tell you, you and I are probably the only individuals that even care.
Well, I'm sure there are other people that care, but the problem is we're not organized, you know. Yeah, that's the problem I see, you know.
Or maybe, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Daniel Clark Network Radio. I'm on the air. Daniel Clark Network Radio. Yeah, you want to call in. The number is 646-478-4995. Right now we're talking with none other than Marsha Jones, bass player for the Ohio Players. All right, thank you. Hello, sorry about that. I believe that if we can get that movement moving, somehow I've got to get even the individuals that's in the close net to this organization. I got to get more participation out of them because we are not committed. You come up with a great idea. It's kind of like the Rayvon Martin thing. I mean, black people were mad when this first happened.
Yeah.
And one thing about black people is that they cool down real fast.
Yeah.
You know, you got to stay the course. Got to stay the course. I mean, nothing happens overnight. Yes, I believe we got a call coming in.
Okay.
Daniel, hello, Daniel Clark Network Radio. You're on the air live with Marsha Jones, the Ohio Players. Who's calling?
This is
hello?
DJ Foxy Lady.
DJ Foxy Lady.
Hiya.
Hey, Foxy Lady.
Open here.
Hello there. You know, that tune took me around the world 3 times, and I got to meet everybody twice. I didn't meet you personally, but I met that personality before.
Okay.
So how are you, Foxy Lady?
I'm good. I'm just letting you know that I am still pumping your music 24/7 on my DJ shows.
Oh, okay. So you're a radio personality yourself, huh?
I'm a radio person too, but also a mobile DJ. I get to play your music and see the reaction of the people.
Okay. That's great to know that my music still. It's great to know that my music still has an influence.
Oh yeah, it will never die because that's the old school we want to hear today to get a party started.
Okay. Well, we'd like to get something else started. We're trying to raise some funds to get an organization together where we can start organizing to benefit home and family, man, where we can stop these killings. You know, these kids and took over the job of the Ku Klux Klan. I call it Ken Killing Ken.
Ken
KKK.
Killing Ken.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I'm a part of this organization.
Daniel Clark Network Radio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marshall, Foxy is one of the entertainers as well as one of the administrators in the organization, because when we talk on Sunday, what we do is we have that conference call on Wednesday, and we are in the background putting things together, organizing and incorporating and setting up board of directors, treasurers, and secretaries and things of that nature.
That's what we need.
Also, I talked to you about the fashion store, and I'm hoping that Ms. Carr calls in and we can elaborate on that a little bit more. But what happens, you know, you and I, we're just together on Sunday, and then sometimes we talk during the week. But on Wednesday, we're really putting this thing together. And at some point, we're going to have everything legalized. We're going to start moving forward and actually accepting donations, because you need money in order to operate. I mean, just the operating capitals to run this radio station and then to maintain the website and you know, those are recurring charges that comes every month. So somehow we've got to get individuals involved in making donations and making sure that we get the type of funds that we need in order to do bigger and better things. And I want to thank Foxy Lady for being a member. And my campaign, Black Woman, You Are Loved.
Well, thank you.
And that was something, Marshall, that I started last week after we got off the air. And whenever I meet a black woman, I say, Black woman, you are loved. And then when the black women meet the black men, they should say, Black man, you are loved.
Yeah, well, you know, it all goes back. It also goes back to the black woman. You know, she's the queen mother of this earth. You know, she, in African culture, we had a matriarch system, not a patriarch. You know, it was the women were the foundation of rulership. When you married an African culture, you took on the surname of the woman. The woman, and the woman is the strongest piece on the chessboard.
Oh, yes, right.
You know, so, you know, I don't know, when the Europeans got a hold to religion, as they call it, they took the woman out of the equation, and they replace her with a ghost.
Right.
I mean, how come sound-minded people can't see that? You know, this is my problem. I mean, you got people got education, been to school, and just don't have no common sense when it comes to common sense. You know, I mean, dang, man. I mean, Ray Charles can see that.
How about that?
How two men and a ghost gonna make a baby? Just think about that.
Uh-huh.
I got big issues with people believing in things that they can't prove exist. Now, I mean, right. I'll tell you what, if you could prove to me that this westernized Christian, you know, God exists, hell, I would join Tammy in the 700 Club tomorrow, today. You know, well, let me shake his hand. Mm-hmm. And you'll have no more, you won't hit another peep out of me.
Right, right. Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm reaching out to Gene Poo-Poo Anderson from the Parliament Funkadelic, so if you hear the phone ring, just kind of hang on in there.
Okay,
yeah.
Ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Hi, this is Gene. That's the Poo-Poo Man. I'm on tour right now. Can't talk. Leave a message, I'll get back at the
back. Is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you are finished recording, press pound.
Okay,
we're gonna leave a callback number.
We're going to have to see if we
we'll get him. Yeah, we'll get him.
Yeah, we'll get him. He did tell me that I think he's in California now. He may be just getting out of church or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But... yeah, so Foxy Lady, she's you know, she's in the organization with us. We've got the National Coalition of Minority Businesses, and we're trying to structure this thing where as we can legally start accepting donations and okay. then start doing some fundraisers.
Yeah.
But okay. everything – absolutely everything takes money, from the light bill to the DJ system to the platforms that we use. You know, everything is based on money. But once again, as I said before, and I'll continue to say this, as Martin Luther King said, is that individually we are poor, but together we are richer than all the nations in the world except for seven.
Hey.
Hey. Amen, brother.
You know, so somehow we got to figure out how to start, instead of patronizing others, start patronizing ourselves, putting money back into our neighborhoods, creating jobs that pay decent salaries to support us, because everybody
yeah,
is
absolutely.
Doing it.
Absolutely.
It's just like you said, everything you do, it takes money. It's just like when, whenever the pastor talks about money in the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, it takes money to keep those lights on, like you said. It pays the water bill. It pays the phone bill, the video, all this stuff you have in your church. Without the funds, you can't do anything. And people have got to learn that it takes money to do what we're trying to do with this organization.
Yeah. Let me just give you a little example on how other you will not go to a Chinese, a Japanese, a Korean, Indian store. Everybody from the people that work in the store to even the people that deliver the products to that store, it's in that chain. So their truck drivers, their distributors, everybody is in that chain, and that money stays in that line.
Yes, you're right.
So It is regenerated back into their neighborhood, back into their stores, back into their businesses. It just keeps circling, circling, and circling right around in that plan.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it hits our pocket on Friday, and that baby is gone. It does not come back.
You have reached
the
maximum time permitted for recording your message. Please enter your callback number, then press pound. To skip,
it does not
press
come
pound.
Back one time in our neighborhood.
Are you still there? Please enter your callback number, then press pound. To skip, press pound.
Hello? Fox, are you still there?
Are you still there? Please enter your callback number.
I think that I just dropped the call with Brother Jones. Let me
get him back.
Let me redo this.
Okay.
Yes, let me do this again.
So where is he calling from?
Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to try Miss Carr because I don't know whether whether we agreed that I was going to call her or whether she was going to call in.
She said she was going to call in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Daniel?
Yes, sir. Apologize.
Yeah, something happened here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're back online, right? Okay.
We're back on the air. We're back online. My next phone call goes out to Joe Phillips from the Winstons. So let me see if I can hook. Marsha, you familiar with the song
here.
Color Him Father? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to get it done. Please.
Let's see.
Are you going to get her on the phone?
Huh?
Are you going to redial?
I'm here. I'm online.
Oh, yeah. He's online. Right now, I'm getting ready to bring Joe Phillips from the Winstons on.
I was talking about our friend, Miss Carr.
Yeah. I may pull her up a little later.
Okay. All
right. Right now we are trying to get Mr. Joe Phillips from the Winstons on.
At the moment, I am unavailable. Just leave your name and number. I'll get right back to you.
All right. Well, we'll continue the conversation. Maybe some of these guys will be available soon. Okay, so we was talking about how everything, in order to operate, everything takes money. And I've had some suggestions and, and that's good. That's good. I mean, but I think that we are known as talkers. For a lot of the individuals that, man, I went down North Carolina with the attitude that all of my black sisters and brothers down there was going to participate and come out to these shows. We got to do something to save our children and raising monies to put back into the various different organizations to train people and to create jobs. And, you know, you're thinking with that concept and that attitude that everybody down there that didn't have a job would be trying to support. We just don't get into that for some godly reason. Is it something that, you know, just take our mind away that we can't look around. And, I mean, your bear and your brother and your sister and your cousin, they're either incarcerated, locked up on a daily basis, and everybody is laughing, having parties, and just having a good time. Nobody's thinking about what's happening in the background.
Until it starts affecting them.
Mm-hmm.
Directly, yeah.
And then they're ready to jump up and say all the things that we've been saying and trying to do all along. When it hits their family and hit it hard, that's when they're ready to do something. But right now, I think everybody is just all for themselves now. You know, I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to worry about that. That's not my problem, you know, the mentality, especially here in North Carolina.
You know, we don't have a cultural background. We don't have a history. We were denied our history. You know, for instance, Henry the Eighth, who murdered his wife because he wanted a younger woman. But before he murdered her, he had a daughter, Queen Elizabeth I, the first Queen Elizabeth. And what she did when she became queen, she sanctioned the slave trade. And she was the one that gave the first schooner, the first slave ship, she named it Jesus. The good ship Jesus. Now, how come we don't know that? See,
right.
if we knew our culture, we would be more tantamount to understanding where we are. We don't know exactly where we are. We have been given this false deity, as I say. Just like the Europeans came over here, gave the Indians Christianity and whiskey. And what did they do? They took the land. Relegated the Indians to a reservation.
Right.
You know, they claim they discovered this country. How are you going to discover something that somebody's already living there? That's like me going out and saying, well, when I leave here, I'm going to go discover somebody's car. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what kind of sense does that make?
Right.
And relegate them to the trunk. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what we got. It's a mental thing. That I see.
Right.
And until we are able to crack that, man, I'm praying because I'm with you. Because, you know, I got kids and grandkids. I got a granddaughter graduating from Texas A&M. And she got a child I hadn't even met yet because they're down in Texas.
Right.
You know,
I'm
ready to go down there this next week.
Yeah.
Celebrate her graduation.
Yeah.
But, you know, when she gets that diploma, she better not let me see it because I'm going to tear it in half. But, of course, I'll put it back together and frame it and say, now that you got a degree, don't make you no honorary white person.
Yeah, how about that?
You know?
How about that?
And
the thing about
now,
we talk about, the first thing that justify an individual when you're talking about jobs is that most of the individuals below the poverty level or in the inner city, they don't have the skill set level for the type of jobs that's being created now. Hey, check this out. Have you ever heard of internship?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so then if you don't have the skill set, then set that person beside you or beside one of those workers and give them the skill set. The training. It is simply no reason for people not to have availabilities to a job because it's designed that way.
Okay. I mean, you got people coming out of these these colleges graduating cum laude, you know. But yet, still, they still got the mindset of hating their own culture because mm-hmm. it was ingrained in them from the time of slavery.
Right.
You know, and we still got that post-traumatic slave syndrome in our minds as we, you know, as we live today. Mm-hmm. And until we wake up and see that, we're going to have the same problem. I mean, what we're talking about, I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, we're way ahead of our time in our discussion. You know, the phone should be jumping off the hook. People want to get involved, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But where they at? They in church thinking Jesus is going to save them.
Yeah.
And you know what? The interesting thing about it, you in the digital age, you can go right online with a flick of your mouse and you can read about the Conference of Nicaea in 325 A.D. when Constantine ordered 319 bishops to decide what was they going to do with this African idea. Because it's all mm-hmm. African. It all come out of Africa, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And it was, what's his name, Jean-Francois Champollion in the 1890s. That ain't been that long ago. Broke they deciphered the hieroglyphs. And when they actually read it, the first time they got to read the Africans' concept of what happened at the Exodus, they found out that the Jews was running the country. They ran it for 400 years. They were called the Hyksos, the shepherd kings from the northern hills. You know? And the Africans ran down into the heart of Africa. They organized what we should do and came back and run the Jews out of there. They run them all the way out, all the way to the Euphrates River. How come we don't know that?
Yeah.
See, this is what we got to re-educate our people so that they can understand who they are. And until that happens, man, we you know, it's going to be an uphill battle. But I'm like Bug Bunny, man. This means war. I'm ready to fight.
Yeah, and it should be. I mean, that's the only way that we're going to get anything done is that we got to stand up and start this movement. And when I say a movement, you know, I'm not advocating any violence or anything of that nature, but what I am advocating is that we need to do something to save our children. And I tell you what, I may even extend that a little bit further, as you said last week. We got to do something to save us as a race. You know, I mean, it just get right down to it. Our men are turning into, you know, I won't even say the word. Our females is
gay.
And I won't even say the word, you know, but we're losing them all around. I mean, they're walking around with the pants hanging down on their butt and the females, you know, with the butch look and everything. I mean, okay. That's cool if that's what society wants, and that's fine. I mean, for each his own. But the fact of it is, for those
you've been programmed, sir. You've been programmed. That's the power of television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they tell you this program is being brought to you by so and so and so and so. You're being programmed. Simple as that. You know, you want to keep something from a nigga, put it in a book.
Right.
That's the problem. We don't read. We won't even, like I said, we won't even go online and look up things like what, mm-hmm. for instance, what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, it ain't like I'm just saying it just to be saying something. I'm saying it because I asked myself the question. And then I had to go and look online to see, okay, this is what it is.
Uh-huh.
You know, this Nicene conference actually happened. When they decided to create Jesus, you know,
right?
So we got to understand, man, that We have been educated by our own enemy. You think he's going to teach us the truth about ourselves?
No.
No, we got to learn it on our own.
And
that's what
that's why they say, the white man say, if you put it in a book, we won't never know about it because we're not going to read it.
That's right. You're right.
We put it on paper. And that is, I've come to the conclusion that most of us, if we don't read.
We're bringing Joe Phillips from the Winston on now. Go ahead, okay. Foxy. Keep talking.
And,
hello?
You're on the air, Daniel Clark Network Radio. I have up here with me Mr. Marshall Jones, my co-host from the Ohio Players, and Ms. Foxy Lady. This is Joe Phillips from the Winston, and you guys are familiar with what we was just talking about, Color Him Father.
Yeah.
Joe, we're doing a couple of things here. One, as you know, that this show is basically a talk show. We're working on a campaign. We got to do something to save our children. And your show is coming up after this show. We've done the Stanley Barrett show. That was Friday. Then we did the Parliament Funkadelics yesterday. And immediately after this show, we will go into the segment playing most of the music that was created and also your new music. But for right now, we're just involved in a conversation and talking and getting ideas and concepts as to what it is that we can do to make a difference in our community, especially to save our black men with drugs and guns. So I'd like for you to, just introduce yourself to everybody. And
Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Phillips of the Winstons.
It's Marshall. Well, welcome aboard. We were just talking about our people, man. We're trying to raise the consciousness of our black heritage, at least I am, to prepare our children for this next world, this next generation. And our opposition is that we are against our own self. You know, we are a people who suffer from cultural amnesia. You know, we don't know who we are. I mean, a roach knows himself.
Right.
A flea knows himself. And until we awaken into our own intelligence, we will remain subordinate to the whims of whomever's leading us. You got a bone in our nose, you know?
Joe, do you think you guys have ever been on the same stage together? This is Marshall Jones. He's the bass player for Ohio Players.
Ohio Players. No, I haven't had that pleasure. That definitely would have been a pleasure. Ohio Players is one of my favorites of all time. Coming up, but no, that would have been a pleasure at the same time on the stage with the Ohio Players, but never had that opportunity.
Right.
Well, likewise, my brother.
But it's all good, and definitely it's a pleasure in definitely speaking with you this afternoon.
Thank you, and same.
Yeah, now Joe,
sure.
You've got a song called one of your latest tracks, and Joe's on that same. On that same tip, because you did Color Him Father, and then you've got your new cut, The Gas Is Too High.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, one of your new cuts, The Gas Is Too High. And I played that, man, and I said, this is cool, because you are absolutely right. Everybody should be jamming on that.
Oh,
because
yeah, no question about that.
They use that gas thing also as a method of every summer the gas goes up, and I mean they just fluctuate, and I was hoping that if Obama didn't do but one thing that he would have kept the price of gas down. where people can afford to get back and forth to work.
Yeah, you know, because the oil companies, anything that happens in the world, no matter what happens anywhere in the world, our gas prices have to go up. It's amazing. But that is for sure. So thanks for checking that out.
Right. Yeah. And Foxy Lady, I'm gonna get you a copy of Joe's new music so that you can start cranking it up when you're out there in your travels.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah. I'm glad to hear some new stuff.
Right.
Oh, and I've been hearing a lot about Foxy Lady, so it's definitely a pleasure to be speaking to her this afternoon also.
Oh, thank you. Back at you.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to try Gene Poo-Poo Anderson from the Parliaments once again. I don't know. I've got a couple of guys that's missing here this evening. But I can understand it's a beautiful day out. And I do know that Mr. Anderson said he would be on his way from church. And we're right at 4 o'clock now, so... Let's see. So, Joe, what's going on in D.C. there?
Oh, well, you know, just weather has been a little wet and everything, but it's supposedly clearing up now, and it's probably about close to 70 degrees, so approaching it. So it's not bad. It's coming along.
I understand
cloudy,
that
but it's not bad.
You guys have a female for mayor now?
I'm sorry, female what now?
I said, D.C. have a female mayor now? Or did she win?
Oh, in D.C., yes, a female that definitely has an opportunity. She still has another obstacle to climb, but she beat out... Mayor Gray, you know, and then, you know, the first part of that runoff and things like that. But so she's on her way. It could be possible. I'll put it that way.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh.
So we'll see what happens there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
since we last talked, I'm in Montgomery County now. I live in Montgomery County now.
Oh, okay.
Right. Not in D.C. exactly, but, of course, keep up with everybody up there. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's a good thing.
And, of course, we still call D.C. our home. Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing what you're doing. It's a good thing what you're doing on the radio and things like that. So I have to commend you for that.
Well, Joe, you know,
I second
what
that emotion.
Yeah, what I'm looking to do, and Marsha and we talked about it last week. You know, we can very easily do a fundraiser where, and we was discussing that everything takes money, but you know, we can find money for everything else. I'm sure we can find money to fund this program if it's gonna mean getting some of these guys out of jail or keeping them from going to jail. And I'm quite sure that everybody here has got somebody in their family that's either incarcerated or dead as a result of the gun violence. So, but we was talking about doing shows whereas in 5 different states simultaneously at the same time. Like you're there in D.C. and Marshall there in Dayton and my boy down in Atlanta and North Carolina. I mean, kind of like a telethon type thing.
Yeah, a national telethon.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. A black national telethon. Let's at least start talking to each other.
Right. I mean,
I like that idea.
And you know, we can put up that WPFW right now. You know, is having their fun drive, you know, they're raising money to keep that radio station alive, and it's definitely a good radio station. But we can do the same thing that WPFW do. We can do the same thing that WETA do. And put that board up there. You know, our goal is to raise $30 million or $20 million or $100,000, whatever it may take. But to put money as operating capital to save black folks, create jobs, and not just jobs, but actually create businesses. You know,
yeah.
We got to go beyond this thing. You know, like I got an email from a friend of mine, and he was saying everybody's still talking the fuzzy wuzzy.
Oh,
you know, we got a lot of these organizations is out here that's receiving monies from the government, but they're doing the fuzzy wuzzy. You know, the monies is not getting to the individual on the ground. We
right.
want to make sure that when we start doing our fundraising, we're going to be in the community. And when I say we're going to be in the community, I mean we're going to be in the community to the point that you've got to start taking these communities back. You got to start taking these drugs out of the community. You got to start taking these guns out of the community. Education is key. We need
exactly.
we need to get back to educating our own kids.
Absolutely. Now you're saying something. We trust our most valuable commodity. We put our most valuable commodity in the hands of our enemy. He hasn't even educated you to this point. What makes you think he's going to educate you now? You got to educate your children, at least prepare them before you put them in public school as to who they are. Give them a little bit of background on their history. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the education begins at mama's bosom. You know, we got to stop putting curling irons and straightening our hair and trying to emulate and lightening our skin, trying to emulate something that is not in our DNA. What's wrong with our DNA? You know, this is God gave us this.
Right.
And he gave us this for a reason, I guess.
Yeah.
You know.
But Daniel, I know you mentioned the gun thing also a little earlier, but, you know, as you know, you remember, of course, the president was bringing up some things to try to curb this gun violence and things like that. But, of course, he had no Republican support, which, of course, is still blocking things in order for us to, you know, to get anywhere. But, of course, the president said he's doing what he can without any of that Republican help. So you have to keep that in mind also.
Well, then we got to help him. See, they've got this brother, man. They've got this brother in a noose, you know. And I mean, if you just look at these white folks as they're parading around, they're like, you know, I see them for what they are, a bunch of racist pigs, you know. And I can't get around that, you know. And I can't even talk about it lightly. I mean, when you look at these Republicans, along with the Koch brothers and Bundy, and now you know, the dude from the NFL or whatever, these people are not acting out of something that just happened. This is who
exactly.
they are. This is
it's
who they are.
It's called white supremacy. It's called racism, white supremacy. It's a systematic system. Worldwide, do you realize that white people are less than 10% of the world population, and they control the world and the resources of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Look at Africa, for instance. Them people over there starving. I remember when I was a kid, they was talking about giving money and food to Africans. Why? You know, they got diamonds laying around on the ground over there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to dig for them. I mean, you got diamonds, you got gold, you got manganese, you got magnesium, you got plutonium, you got cobalt, you got
mm-hmm.
oil, you got precious metals, you got exotic woods, animals, and these
mm-hmm.
people are starving. something's wrong with that picture.
It's
contrived. I can't think of the word. Mm-hmm. That's what you see. We need to start talking about that.
Yeah, for real.
And quit stopping in these churches talking about Muhammad, Judaism, all these. All we talking about, we were black Jews. So what? We are the we are the most religious people on the planet. Let's face that.
Right.
If we want to call God Juju, it's our prerogative. But we got to have our own God. We worship an image. The Bible said Jesus was black. We'll try to put one of them in one of these white churches. Where when you go to Rome, because I've been over there, I've been to the Sistine Chapel. You go down to them catacombs in Rome, you see the black Madonna and Child. But you won't see that here. See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
This is what we got to wake our people up to, what's the real going on. And I'm for starting at the black church.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just quit playing and start calling a spade a spade.
Yeah.
Because what they don't realize is that this is the real deal now. It ain't no shucking and jiving. It's the real deal.
Yes, ma'am. The Africans had figured out the, for instance, the precession of the equinox. That's when the Earth wobbles. It's got a tilt and it wobbles, and it makes a complete circle every 25,920 years. And we've got this belief in this. Adam and Eve came into history 6,000 years ago. I read a book was called The Pre-Adamites, and it was by these two white guys that come out of the University of Michigan, and they set out on a quest to find out their ancestry. And they traced themselves back to Adam and Eve. And in this book, they came to the conclusion that Adam and Eve were the first white people. You know, our history, goes way back beyond that. When Constantine created Jesus, then that's when they stopped the year. They started the year, they stopped time and said, well, this is year one of our Lord. Well, that just wiped out all our history right there.
Right.
When we had knowledge of the precession of the equinox. Every 2,160 years, the sun goes through a cycle like now we're in the age of Aquarius. You know what I'm saying? Now you go down, you do that 2,160 years, 12 times, then you come to the 25,920-year cycle of the equinox. We knew this. Mm-hmm. So we got to teach our children instead of letting this white man teach us.
Yeah, right. I agree.
When we get to that, then you go, when you start waking people up to facts, belief is something that you can't prove. You need facts today. I mean, you can't go in no court of law and say, hey, man, I believe that. Did you see it? Well, I believe I saw it. Well, they're going to tell you to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know? Knowledge supersedes a belief.
Right,
and this is where we got to start, man.
Mm-hmm. Now, Joe, last week we came up with an idea, and Mr. Black was on with us last week, and we were looking at different ways to raise funds for operating capital, and I thought about, for breast cancer, they have a little symbol that people buy, and those funds goes back into the organization for breast cancer. So Mr. Black came up with a musical note, and that would be our symbol of we got to do something to save our children, and people can purchase that and put it on their cars, on their notebooks, on their bags, or whatever the case may be. As an awareness campaign, that was one of the things that we talked about. And also, we talked about a new We Are the World song.
Okay, that's a great idea. And I got a track for it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I have a track for that.
Yeah, that, I want to have a track. Right?
Yeah.
I came up with a hook.
When the power of love overcomes the love of power. You hear
but
me?
Marsha said, Ken's killing Ken's.
Yeah, KKK. And the new Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damn shame.
Ain't that something?
Yeah, we create our own uselessness.
Yeah. I'm going to bring another gentleman on the line right now. Okay. And we're still waiting for Stanley and Gene Poopoo Anderson. They may be available today. Joe, I enjoyed those tracks, man. I finally learned some things, you know?
Oh, well, great. Glad you did.
Hello?
Yeah. Danny Clark Network Radio. Mr. Lynch, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Uh-huh. You're on the line with Marshall Jones, bass player from the Ohio Players.
Oh, okay.
Joe Phillips from the Winstons, Color Him Father. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
hello there.
Also DJ Foxy Lady. Everybody, this is my nephew. And I'm proud that.
Hey, nephew.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm proud that, you know, he is on point. And I'm proud to have him as a nephew. You know. So, Miguel, we was, you can just, you know, kind of introduce yourself and, you know, just give a little summary. We was talking basically about different ways to raise operating capitals, and but you can just give your philosophy. I know that we've talked, but you can share your thing with everybody.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was, as all of you all are, probably all concerned about the status of the our communities now, and I was happy to hear that my uncle is trying to come up with some form of way of attacking the problem. The main thing that I noticed that we all need to do is form a network. And social media is a big help. It's even starting revolutions around in Egypt and different places where we're able to bring the community together and actually have a force to combat the injustices in the world. And I noticed that with a lot of the youth, they're somewhat detached from the community and trying to make it more powerful and able to sustain each individual. Sounds like I'm getting a lot of back to you.
Say again? Yeah, I believe you're getting some back feed. Are you on speaker?
Yeah, I turned that off. Is that better?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You was getting that reverb back there.
Okay.
So
yeah,
now,
so basically, I know. I'm, well, go ahead.
Well, you go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I was just saying. I know I'm a little behind. I mean, I know you all been on since around 3 or whatever. So, I don't want to repeat anything that's already been repeated. But if it's something I'm looking to contribute to, you know, repairing our communities and getting us back on track, because I think we lost a lot of our focus with how the industry and everything is being manipulated by corporations. A lot of us think that we're doing better than we actually are, but each day we're losing a lot of our rights and freedoms. And like I was saying, a lot of the youth are not even aware of that. I mean, matter of fact, some of the our elders are not even aware of it.
Yeah, some of our elders is aware of it, but is not willing to take that challenge. You know, I've worked at this company once, and this guy, he had been there for such a long time, and he had been discriminated against, you know, for life. But he was afraid to go file a complaint, afraid of losing his job. I mean, he had, you know, kids and a wife. And sometimes that is, you know, I mean, sometimes
that's a major factor, yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't cut it. As long as we allow these people to do what they do, guess what? They're getting better at it.
It's not going to change.
What do you say about that,
Joe? I agree. Yeah, I agree with you. It's not going to change.
Well, I think my opinion about that will be that people like to have security, especially if you know, them speaking up can put their job and their livelihood, their family in jeopardy. So, like I was saying, basically, if we figure out a way where we could become independent and won't have to be have to deal with retribution for standing up for our own rights, you know, that would be helpful. I mean, I can understand someone not wanting to put their livelihood online because, to be honest with you, a lot of us when it comes down to it, when our back is against the wall, we will turn on each other. So I think the first thing we will have to do is probably figure out some way to become more financially independent. I myself, I used to work for a company, Verizon, where we had a union, and I didn't have to feel the threat of retribution if I stood up for myself and, you know, came together. Unfortunately, the unions are under attack, so a lot of that security is taken away from us. And I think the main thing is for us to come together and support the unions and actually just be active in these protests and the political movement. Because right now, money is what's moving everything. You know, if you don't have the money, I mean, all our politicians are being bought out with both parties. I think, you know, there are some parties out there that are not being affected by the corporations, but I think we all have to be diligent and stay focused. But the first thing, like I said, I think the our community is just not in touch with what the reality is going on out there. And a lot of us just have to wake up. Now, I don't have an idea. I mean, I have some ideas, but I'm looking for guidance from my elders. Once that's been there, when we were fighting for our civil liberties, you know, and help guide or advise, you know, so we could get into another movement. The only thing I have that could contribute would be suggest that social media is, like, the most powerful thing right now.
Well, one thing about social media, I mean, it is a powerful thing if, you know, but we got to be powerful ourselves. I mean, the thing about it is that when I post things on social media on a daily basis, I mean, I might get the latest thing I got up there is Black Woman, You Are Loved. I had maybe three people to make a comment on it. But if you see this little boy out there, you know, pretending to have sex with his mother from the behind, I mean, you got 50,000 hits. You know, everybody is interested in that play type environment, and nobody is really interested. Don't nobody want to get serious about saving ourselves, basically. Nobody want to get serious about
that,
you know.
Well, you have to understand, we were brought up with a child mentality. First, you had Santa Claus. You went downtown and you sat on his knee and you told him what you wanted for Christmas because he wanted you to be bad or good, you know. And my brother, who was 4 years older than me, he made sense to me one time. He said, Marshall, do you realize, man, that ain't no presents under the tree from Santa Claus. You know, now all these presents, ain't none of them from Santa Claus, and we decided to stay up one night.
Uh-huh.
And we could hear people coming and going, but we could tell voices. These were family and friends, you know, of my parents. So mm-hmm. when you raised up with a child mentality like that, then when you get an adult, then they switch it over and they give you the same thing, and then adult told me they give you a Jesus. I mean, how can somebody be born in a manger in the middle of the desert with snow on the roof? That don't happen. I mean, and we fall for that. You know what I mean, saying? I'm sorry. I just got to tell the truth. You know,
hey, well,
religion is the thing that separates men from the hearts of men.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't but one God, and you are it. You are the God you're searching for.
Right, right.
So it's up to you to get off your A double scribbles and jam. Mm-hmm. And stop thinking somebody's going to come and save you. You can save yourself.
Right. Now,
well, that's what's really going down.
Let me ask you.
I agree.
Explain to Marshall, you operate as the master conductor. Give us a list of the groups that you currently and have worked with in the past.
Okay, well, pretty long list, but I work for on guitar. Of course, you know, I started out as a guitarist, a guitar player, and which that was with the Manhattans, the Persuaders, the Floaters, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, the Delphonics, Stylistics, Martha Reeves. I can go
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, Al Wilson. But I was gonna say Al Wilson. But then I started when I began really becoming an arranger, and I became a music director, and that was for you know, a lot of groups also. Even, you know, the doo-wop shows that you see on public television.
Yes.
We got the Marcells and. You know, all the, you know, the doo-wop groups who were Frankie Lyman's Teenagers, all of that crew. I was the music director for that, you know, in the Washington area, whenever they would, you know, come to town. So I handled some of that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they call me the master conductor. Mm-hmm.
Now, Marshall. Can you give a list of all of the entertainers that you're affiliated with, you know, both?
Well, I'll put it to you like this, man. Everybody that came along during the late 60s, the early 70s, and to the early 80s, at one point I at least shook their hands or at least did the performance on stage with all those groups that came along. Most of those groups that you just named, I know a few people in those groups.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're in this business, you know, you rub each other's shoulders. You cross each other's paths. You shake hands and you go out and do your best show.
Mm-hmm. And see, I asked that to get to a point. I believe that music is a message. Now, last Friday, I played all of this dance music from that era, and not one song incited violence, not one song degraded our women, not one. I mean, the whole 3 hours, and it's called Friday's Jam, the whole Friday Happy Hour Jam, I believe it is. The whole 3 hours, I was jamming, and none of the music was derogatory. Hold on 1 second. Daniel Clark Network Radio. Hey, getting ready to call you on the air. All right. Yeah.
While he's
mm-hmm.
on that call, I did want to add in when he made a comment about music is supposed to have a message. Well, I agree with that because if you are a singer or writer or just myself, a DJ, we are just like messiahs. A messiah always has a message. So I just want to iterate on that because I do believe that, and I do know that for a fact, that music does have a...
You can keep on, Fox.
Oh, music should have a message. And then some music that you can listen to, it can be good or either bad.
Yes.
It can be a bad message or a good message.
Right.
Yes. Mr. Stanley Beer, this is Daniel Clark Network Radio, and you're on the line with Marsha Jones, bass player from Ohio Players.
All right.
Also,
hello there. Okay.
You're on with Mr. Joe Phillips from the Winstons. Call him Father.
All right.
Also,
hey,
buddy.
Also, we have Miguel, which basically is my nephew. And then we have Foxy Lady and myself. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Stanley Beard, male. Bear, male saxophone player from my hometown, North Carolina.
You know how to remember
we've been
last
wrestling.
Name, don't you?
We've been wrestling with that last name. I must just start calling you Stanley.
You're killing my name.
Yeah. But pronounce it the right way. You said bear. And
I said
beer aspirin.
Beer. Don't nobody say beer aspirin. They say bear aspirin.
Bear aspirin. Okay.
You sure you're from North Carolina, man?
Man, yeah, I'm from
beer aspirin.
I've been gone for so long.
Yeah, I know. What's a beer aspirin? I want one of those.
Okay. Well, I mean, you came in with a bang. Yeah. So, Stanley, just bring everybody up to date, and just let us know what you're doing on that side of the world.
Well, I just released a single, and that seems to be the going thing these days. But what I did, I did four songs on the single. It's only about 12 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of doing a whole CD, what I did, I called it, Slow Jams Volume 1. So what I'll probably do is do about three more. And I don't know whether they're going to be slow jams or not. They might be, smooth jazz, straight ahead jazz, rock. I don't know yet. But once I finish the Volume 4, then I'll put them all together and make me a CD.
Right
now, I'm just putting out so-called singles,
Uh-huh.
Well, I wish you all the luck, my friend. Yes, I wish you all the luck and success that this industry can bring you. Keep it up, my friend. Keep it up.
Well, it's crazy now, man. It's a million people trying to get through one door. I understand that concept. But I enjoy doing it, so what the heck?
That's what life is about.
Now, we were talking about ways to raise funds. Stanley is the first artist that have agreed to make a donation back through the community from his CD. When the website was available, and we're redesigning it now, but... every time one of his CDs sell, a percentage of it will go back to the neighborhood or back to our organization as another means, Marshall, of raising funds for operating capital. Now, can you imagine if we've got 40 artists that's on that website that's selling their material that makes a donation each time one sale, and then we're pushing it from the radio station, and Fox is a DJ, and I've got other DJs that I'm going to get involved in, you know, once we're purchasing it from on the air, but the DJs and the radio stations is playing it as well. So then we kind of form that circle where you guys produce a CD. We're going to make sure that it gets through that system. You know, they used to have record pools.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I don't think that that still exists. If it do, you don't hear very, very much about it. But that was one true way of making sure that new music got played.
Mm-hmm.
So now everybody's kind of
all over
the place.
You know, you guys are the radio people. You guys to make us who we are. If you get enough radio stations online that can communicate with each other, then just look at the territory, the area that you're going to cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, music is second nature to me. And I'm in the company of musicians, I understand. So we can make the music, you know, and it's like you said, it's a universal language. Everybody can understand music. Music touches the soul of every man,
mm-hmm.
whether
true.
He understands the words or not. And by
that's
us
true.
Having the medium of radio, hey, that now we're talking about some power.
Yeah, absolutely,
you know?
Because one of the things is this is internet radio. So if I've got a friend in Brazil,
that's
that
true.
You can say, hey, look, turn a couple of your friends on to this radio station, or turn, you know, even Foxy Lady as a DJ. I mean, when she get up and start DJing and doing her shows on the radio, then who knows, somebody in Brazil may want to hire her to come over. And to do a jam, or the same for all the other groups. But the most important thing to me right now, and the example that I was trying to make, is that Joe mentioned I don't know how many artists. Marsha, you mentioned I don't know how many artists. Can you imagine if collectively we can get all of these acts together and start doing these shows all over the United States with that same concept?
Well, you
got to start somewhere.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, because the whole thing is getting spins, you know. If
mm-hmm.
somebody get, you know, one or two spins in about an hour or two, that's, you know, and they do that all day, then you can break a record, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but it's all about those spins.
mm-hmm.
You all were talking about the, you know, he was saying how it Stanley, he was saying how it's hard. Everybody's trying to get through that one door. The issue I see, and like I said, I'm not in the industry, but what I've noticed, what I'm thinking is, we need to know how to reach the audience. I'm not sure if you all are just targeting, you know, people that are familiar with your music. Me, for one, I grew up in the 70s. You know, and all this other stuff. So my parents exposed me to that music, and it stuck, you know, and I still like it. I still collect it, you know, stuff like that. But these younger generations don't really appreciate the music, even just using live bands and the instruments, you know, they're all into the sampling and just the playful music, you know, and there's some of it, like you said, is offensive. I'm thinking we need to take our airwaves back. I mean, we used to have, like, say we used to have BET, you know, Black Entertainment Television. I remember years ago, before they sold out, or the owner sold out, and I went over to, I think, MTV, they used to have news. They only had news up there. Like we don't need news or appreciate news. So things like that, I figure we should target those companies, you know, and a lot of us may think that's unfair, but if they're not serving us, you know, don't state that it's for us. You know what I'm saying? I think that, you know, and like you were going back before, you were saying how, like, there's a lot of us praying, you know, opposed to doing. And like I think it was Malcolm X said, you know, we do too much singing, you know, and we're not doing enough action. You know, you got to get in there and act on it, you know. So that's why I was saying we come together, target these stations, or either come up with our own station and promote that, and get rid of this competition, which is not really there to serve us. It's there to serve these corporations that are making all this money in the industry. You know, I'd rather give my money straight to the artists opposed to giving it to these people that leeches that basically attach themselves to the artists and try to get paid off of it. You know, I was impressed with just like Beyonce, how like she just circumvented all of them, but that's because she had that star power, and she just circumvented the whole, the record companies or whatever, and got them to buy her album without even using them for promotion. You know, now, of course, she has that star power to do that.
It depends on the demographic.
Right. But I'm saying that if we try to affect the community, which right now our youth is the problem, you know, it's not necessarily that, I mean, yeah, some of our elders are not raising the kids correctly and not exposing them to things, because exposure is everything. You know, if I wasn't exposed to that music, I would have never come to appreciate it, you know. So, but I know it's a lot of competition. Right now the market is basically pushing all these bebop and disrespectful hip-hop. Yeah, you know, and hip-hop, I love hip-hop. I grew up on hip-hop, but I like the positive hip-hop. I'm a little bit more of a radical one, you know, positive, uplift the people, come together type thing like that. You know, that's what moves me, you know. But unfortunately, a lot of the youth, you know, they just trying to mimic these hip-hop artists with the pants pulled down. I mean, you have songs that don't have their pants pulled down and everything like that, and it's just destroying our community. They don't have any respect for themselves, respect for the community, their elders or whatever. We need to take that back. So if we have, my opinion is, if we have these people promoting this negativity, we need to get rid of that negativity, that cancer. And right now, to me, the cancer are these radio stations that keep playing the same thing over and over again with no message other than, okay, sex sell, you know, balance sell, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, so, it's all about money, man, you know, sex sell, yeah. So that's where to go. Now, you talking about these juvie pants, the guys that made this record with the juvie pants, you see them on TV, they don't have no juvie pants out. I ain't seen P. Daddy yet. And some juvie pants. Every time I see him, he's in a tuxedo or something on somebody's show.
Right.
So, I mean, they've already got everybody else hooked on it, but you don't see them, with it, you know, doing that.
I would like to iterate a thought that just come to mind. If you gentlemen take a pencil, if you got one handy, and write down Dr. Umar Johnson. Johnson. He's a child psychologist. And you can go online and look him up. Pardon?
I think he's from Pennsylvania. Is he from Pennsylvania?
I'm not sure where he's from, but he's online.
Right.
Yeah, Umar Johnson, he's a child psychologist. And he's talking just what we're discussing about these kids, man.
Yeah.
And I think you should check him out, because he's putting the rubber to the road. Trust me.
Right. How are you spelling Umar? You know how he's spelling that name?
I think it's UHMAR or UMAR. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Umar Johnson. Yeah.
Uh huh.
It's one or the other.
We've got about 10 minutes left in this set, so. What I wanted to do is just kind of summarize everything before we get too close to the time. Now, we understand that in order for this to continue to move, Foxy Lady, in order for us to continue to move, we must start generating capital. So through all of the ideas that we've talked about, somewhere – we're gonna have to make something move. I don't care if it's bake sales in the community, or, you know, selling dinners. I don't care what we do. if everybody is serious, and Joe and Stanley, you guys just came in, so you're kind of in between what's been happening, and I'll probably get with you at some other time and kind of bring you up to date. But we're really trying to start a movement. This is not just talk. This is going to be a real bona fide organization that's going to organize, and the purpose for which it is organizing is to save not just our children, but us as a black race. We need to start creating our own jobs, and that can happen. I've got five trades to train people sitting on my desk right now, five of them. You know, if had the facility, the operating capitals, we can start training people tomorrow morning on how to terminate fiber optic. Fiber optic, that's all coming down there. North Carolina, Stanley, you got Kerry. Kerry's getting ready to do fiber optic down there. Wilson have just done their own fiber optic network. There's another place down there. All of those rural areas is now beginning to get fiber optic. Guess who's making that money?
Europeans.
We're not. You know. So right. I have a fiber optic course that's available right now. We've got drywall. We've got heating. We've got air conditioning. We've got electrical, both commercial and residential. These are programs that we can, with the funding, train people. And then guess what? Who do you want to mess with? The government talking about saving people and getting jobs. I'm going to show them a way that we can do jobs. Now, we're going to train the people, our own black sisters and brothers. We're going to train the people. Now, you give us contracts. State, local, federal government. You give us contracts. You know that HP ain't going to do it. Microsoft and Facebook definitely ain't going to do it. So then if you are going to set up there and tell these people that you're trying to give them training and get them jobs, we're going to provide the training and the avenue for the jobs, and then, say, for instance, Marshall, we talked about building these computer towers.
Yes.
Hey, all these small communities, hey, train people how to build these computer towers. You know, put that hardware in that community. Have a couple of IT people to certify it and push it on out the door. Who are you going to sell it to? State, federal, and local government. Why not? You want to create jobs.
Daniel.
Huh?
Daniel.
Well, you see,
if I may interrupt for a moment, I'm having trouble with my phone. The battery about to go, and I don't have a charger. I'm on the road. So I'm going to have to apologize. Okay. You're going to have to update me just a little later.
Okay, Joe. Okay. Man, I appreciate
you. Well, we appreciate you dropping in.
Okay, sure. Yeah. My battery's about to go, but update me later, and I'll get back with everybody. It definitely was a pleasure, guys.
All right. Well,
okay, pleasure. Thank you.
Have a good day, man.
Thank you, guys. All right. Thank you, now.
So that's basically what I'm
saying.
You seem to have your
thumb on the prize.
Right.
And I'm here to support you whatever you do. I'm in Dayton, and we're trying to raise money here. They want to put up a museum for funk music because they had a lot of groups come out of it. They had the Players. They had Lakeside, they had Roger Troutman and Zapp, they had a Heat Wave, they had that girl, I can't think of her name. But anyway, they tried to raise money for that. They got a certain section that's in the black community where Paul Lawrence Dunbar and Wilbur and Alba Wright had a cycle shop, you know, and the Wright brothers were the first ones to design the airplane. And they're trying to raise money to open up this street, sort of like Beale Street, or Basin Street.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm involved in that program, and I'm gonna piggyback what you're saying off of these same people. If they can raise some money, Then I'm going to say we'll raise some money for another cause now that you're raising
right.
that.
Yeah.
So I'm like I'm saying, I'm with you 100%. Go
okay.
ahead.
We've got 5 minutes. I'm going to take 1 minute, and then everybody else will have a minute before we go off here. And what I'm thinking, Marshall, that with all of you guys as musicians and with all of the individuals that you know, if you contact in Lakeside and Heat Wave and all of those groups on that end, and they get Joe to work with, you know, all the people that he know, and Stanley work with all the people, I think that this is going to be done better from the entertainment standpoint, you know, because you guys are already out there than from any other place. And with the age group, because the age group right there within itself is a blessing. And my minute is about to be up. And Stanley, I appreciate your niece, guys. Look, if you want to check out Shay, she is a very beautiful, young, and positive black woman. And this is what our women, our kids should be, you know, representing themselves as. So if you get a chance, check out the young lady named Shay, and she's on YouTube. That's Stanley's niece.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh, cool.
Okay, Stanley, you got your minute?
All right, man. Well, you know, when you start making decisions trying to raise money, that means that you need to get out and vote. And not just for the president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start on the local level getting those people in place. Because it's happened, you know, right now, the evidence is in Congress where these people have come out at the local level and now they're in Congress and they're a bunch of jack, you know, buttholes. But in Durham, we got election Tuesday. Now, it's for all local kind of stuff, local judges, local sheriff. But you got to start right now because those people become congressmen and senators.
Right.
You know? So you got to make sure you get them in place to make the right decisions when you're trying to get stuff in place to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
So
now we've got 90 seconds.
My thing is, you know, vote locally.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Foxy, 10 seconds.
Yes, I just enjoyed this conversation. It was very soothing, very educational, and we are on the rise.
Miguel?
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
like I was saying, we got to get our people motivated. We got to get them active in the process, the political process. Until then, we're going to lose out. The Hispanics got politically motivated. We got the homosexuals doing the same thing. We need to get motivated. Get back on there.
Okay, Marshall, 30 seconds.
Okay, I got a poem I wrote there that might enlighten some people's thinking. It's called Oppression.
Mm-hmm.
It goes, once it's oppressed under a bare tree and strays into a gloomy valley, in such time there's nothing a man can do but a quenching his saber to himself remain true. When adversity befalls a man, increasing him a power to react, outward influence is denied him because his words have no effect. He busts his head against the wall and in consequence feels himself fall. But as soon as he grasps the situation, changes his mental attitude and makes a firm decision, he attains a station which he can prove himself fruitful in accomplishment. And as a result, he gains recognition.
Okay, you've been listening to the Daniel Clark Network Radio. We are now out of time. I want to thank my guests, Marsha Jones, co-host Ohio Players, Foxy Lady, Miguel Stanley, Bear, and Joe Phillips from the Winston, which is now gone. And like I say, guys, check Shay out. The young lady is bad. You've been listening to the Daniel Clark Network Radio Show. Good night.